Whew, man, I'll tell you what, that's where you get your healing. Come on, that's where you get touched right there. And you know, I was looking back at the beginning of the year, and this is March is here already, can you believe it? But and I see the sermons that God is giving us, and you know, God is setting the stage for blessing. He's setting the stage for healing, and he's given us some specific instructions from his word so we can be put in a position, if we choose to walk in a different realm than what we've been walking in the past years of our life. Come on, it's just a... And I was, I'm always praying in the Spirit and praying in English. And you know, normally many times I'll get the title for the message before I get the message, and this kept coming out of my spirit, one thing, one thing, one thing. And then I went from there and spent hours in the Word. And I believe that God wants this message to be preached to us today. And Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell us today. Help us to adjust, especially before we take communion. Help us to do inventory and to judge ourselves. And Father, just to make sure we're in the right position. Not only to be blessed, but to walk in the anointing in a stronger level, and that we can live the kind of life that Jesus died on that cross for us to live. And Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory for your word, for that wonderful worship. God, you're so good. You're so good. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to start out in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul, and if there's ever anyone that went through trials and tribulations and had a past that he had to live with every day, it was the Apostle Paul. And he said, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended." He said, "I'm not telling you I've arrived. If anybody's telling you that they've arrived, let them come see me, please. Because none of us are going to arrive until we meet him." Come on. None of us are going to arrive until we get up there. And then we're going to know a little bit, and then we're still going to continue to learn. But Paul said, "I'm not telling you that I've arrived," but he said, "This one thing I do." One thing. That's the title of this message. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before." One thing. And why is it that this one thing seems to be the hardest thing for so many people to do? Amen. I can tell you why, because the enemy always wants to bring up your past so he can stop you, listen, from living the God kind of life that God designed for you to live. He wants to rob you of your present. He wants to rob you of your future. And he's a master at getting us to think about the past and to live in the past, forgetting those things which are behind. That means everything that's been hindering you from living the abundant life that Jesus went to the cross for you to live. I don't want to live any less of a life that Jesus Christ died on that cross for me to live. I don't know about you, but he did not die in vain. Come on, and I'm going to live the kind of life that he died for me to live. Your past sins, your past mistakes, past failures, past defeats, and more importantly, the bad things that people have done to you in the past, you got to put it behind you. Because Satan is a master of reminding folks what they've done, and also a master of reminding folks what others have done to them in the past. Am I right? Come on, am I preaching to somebody here this morning? And it's the main reason that many people walk in unforgiveness and many people are bitter. But let me just say this. It must be dealt with if you're going to enjoy the present and look forward to the future. One thing. It's amazing how hard sometimes that one thing is to do for all of us. Albert Einstein said this. "Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow." That's a pretty good statement. Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Come on, you can't have faith if you don't have hope. Amen. But I'll say this, you can't do this on your own. It can only be done God's way. And some of you know that because you've been trying so hard. I know because I know a lot of you. You've been trying so hard. You know why you haven't accomplished it? You've been the one trying. You've got to turn things over to the Holy Spirit. Come on. You've got to let God help you. Amen. Some of you had a horrible childhood. Some of you watching by line had a horrible childhood. And the reason the enemy put a lot against you is because God put a lot in you. Come on. That's right. That's the reason the enemy came against you so hard, because he understands the anointing. He's done some things to you in the past to put roadblocks in your future. But I honestly believe that today some of those barriers are going to be broken in your life because God gave us this message and God watches over his word to perform it. Jesus died on a cross to give us the power in his name to break the power of the past that's held so many people captive for years. Let me just say this. Freedom to the future and freedom to the present has everything to do with dying to the past, death to the past. Amen. Freedom to the present requires death to the past. Death, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the final thing he did, he had to kill all the firstborn to free his people. Amen? Freedom to their future had to be dealt with death. Amen. We need to die to the past. Now, I've got enough sense to know this after just living for a few years. Obviously, we'll never forget every bad thing that's happened to us, but we have the divine ability not to dwell on it. Come on. We're not going to forget everything that's happened to us, but God has given us the divine ability not to dwell on it, not to live there, and not to stay there. Am I telling the truth this morning? Amen. The Greek word that Paul used here for forgetting means two things. The first thing it means, to lose out of mind. But the second thing it means is to neglect. To neglect it. There are some things that will be erased from your mind supernaturally. But there are some things that's going to be there the rest of your life. But God has given you the ability to neglect it. Come on. To neglect it, not to dwell on it, not to let it hinder your present life, and not to let it hinder your future, because God's got good plans for every one of his children. Amen. Don't think you're not saved because you can't stop remembering certain things in your past. That's not true. When Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young pastor that he mentored, he mentioned certain things that others had done to him and how the Lord had strengthened him through it all. He wasn't dumping on Timothy. He wasn't venting on him. He was preparing Timothy for the ministry, because if you are in the ministry or even live for God, you are going to suffer persecution. Jesus said, "No man is greater than his master." And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and show you a few things here this morning. And don't think you're the only one going through stuff. Come on. You're not that important. Didn't mean to say that. Yes, I did. You're not an isolated case. The Bible says so. It says you're not going through anything that some of your brethren aren't going through. What I meant was, you're not that special to the devil, because the devil don't care about anybody. Come on. He's not going to single anybody out. But the greater the calling, the greater the persecution. Get that straight right now. Oh, I want to go into ministry. You really do. Huh? You think it's all glorious? There's a price to pay. And I want to read what Paul told Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9 through 18. He said, "Do your diligence to come to me shortly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans into Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. And the coat that I left there at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring my coat and the books, but especially the parchments, especially the letters that I've been writing. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom, beware of him also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, after all this stuff people done to me, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, nowhere did Paul say that he would retaliate in any way against anything the people did to him. Did he? No. Actually, he said, "Alexander did me much evil, but I'm going to turn that over to the Lord. The Lord will reward him according to his works." You need to let the Lord take care of those people, come on, that have come against you and harmed you. Turn it over to him. We want to take vengeance when God said, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Some of the hardest things to do is to let God handle your situations and to fight your battles for you. And then he said in verse 16, "All men forsook me." But he said, "I pray to God that it may not be laid to their charge." And then he goes on to say, the Lord stood with him. The Lord strengthened him. The Lord would deliver him. And the Lord would preserve him. Come on, do you know the Lord will do the same thing for you today? Come on, if you'll stop dwelling on your past. Paul wasn't venting, just preparing Timothy for the life of a pastor. Jesus himself said it would happen. He said we would be persecuted, but he said we would be blessed for it if we handle it his way. Come on. The blessing will always be greater than the persecution. Always remember this. The blessing will always be greater than the persecution. Amen. It's designed that way by the Master himself. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. Look what it says. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Then he says, go out and get them. Put it on Facebook. Tell everybody how bad people's been to you. Hogwash. That's why some of you are in the mess you're in today. Come on, help me out. Help me out just a little bit. You know what he said to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. Not only to rejoice, he said, but be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen? Now let me just say this. Your past cannot be changed, but the effect that it still has over you can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust me. I'm living proof. God knew way before you were even born the things that you would have to go through, and he provided the anointing to destroy the very effects from it. Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day, the day you're living in, that this burden shall be taken off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Come on. I mean, the anointing is strong enough here today to break any yoke of bondage about your past that you've been living with, some of you 10, some of you 20, some of you 30 years. The anointing. It's in every born-again believer to empower you to do everything that God says you can do. The anointing is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit to overcome anything that you've been through and anything that you'll have to go through in the future. The Bible says the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you. It's in 1 John. That's what He said. The anointing that you have received from Him abides in you. And He's there today to break that power that's been hindering your past for many, 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 many years. You need to release something in order to receive something. I said you need to release something in order to receive something. You can't alter your past, but you can take your past to the altar. Come on, help me out. Some of you need to wake up because you've been living in this mess for years. Amen. I've heard people say this so many times, but I can't forget what so-and-so did to me. You don't understand what they put me through. God does. God does. Amen. But I thought 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Either that's true or it's not. That means every born-again believer has the ability, listen to me, has the ability to put those things behind them. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become anew. Some of you need a new pep in your step. Come on. Some of you need the joy restored to you. Some of you need the peace that passes understanding. Amen. Some of you need to build up your spiritual immune system because every little thing offends you. And I said it last week, Ruth Milliken, she mentioned 98 years old. Come up to me more than once after Sunday. Come to her. Pastor, I just want to thank you for stepping on my toes. 98. And then some people get upset when you tell them the truth. And they stomp out. And you'll preach a message like this, and they're sitting there thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to hear that. You're the so-and-so. It happens. You are the so-and-so that needs to hear this, because if I need to hear it, you need to hear it, because my nose is in this book most of the time every day, right here in this book. Got to keep the flesh under. Amen. The anointing. All things are passed away. Behold, all things, you have the ability for all things to become new because of the new birth and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And I've heard this, Pastor, I've done so many bad things in my life that I'm not sure God will even forgive me. I don't want to lie because I don't want to stretch the truth, but I led many, 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 many people to the Lord on their deathbed. On their deathbed. Well, Pastor, would you go visit my uncle so-and-so? He's about to die. I don't know if he's saved. Yeah, where's he at? Give me the room number. So I remember this one older fella, I prayed with him. I told him the full gospel message, how God forgave him, how Jesus went to the cross for him, led him to the sinner's prayer right on his deathbed. And I said, now thank God that you're saved. He goes, well, I hope I am. I said, listen, buddy, I just told you the whole thing. Yeah, but I don't know if God can forgive me. You don't know all the bad stuff I've done. Well, that's why you don't need to wait till you're on your deathbed. Come on, get saved now and get the word in you. Because it does not matter what you've done. Amen. That's a lie from the past. The Apostle Paul was responsible for the death and imprisonment of many Christians. He consented to the death of Stephen, one of the deacons. Even though he destroyed the lives of many people and their families, God still chose to forgive him and use him. Come on, and God will still forgive you. It's under the blood. I love that song about the blood. Paige, you have me shouting. I may almost made a big mistake when she graduated. I was going to pay their way to fly to a Bible school and see if that's where they were supposed to be, because, man, she grew up here, man. I am so glad you did not leave and God told you to give the Lord a hand. We need you. There's an anointing on you. Amen. These young people. And don't think just because they're young people that they don't have the wisdom of God. Listen, they're leadership. Let me just say this. Paige, Jimmy, Ashley, all those under me, that they're a direct extension from my arm. They are a direct extension. Come on now. You can trust them all. You can trust them all. After Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, God spoke to a man by the name of Ananias to lay his hands on Saul that he would receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It does not matter what you've done. Look what he did. I want to read Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 15. I got a Band-Aid on my thumb. I'm trying to turn the pages. I just got done on speakerphone yesterday praying for Debbie and yesterday morning, and I was about to cook breakfast and I started to cut some potatoes and I was thinking about Debbie up there, and all of a sudden my thumb got too close and all of a sudden there was blood on the counter, blood on the onions, blood on the taters. Mary didn't know when she ate them taters. It was fried blood taters, but boy, she loved them. That's right. You did too, baby. I just didn't. I thought, what the heck? Wash it off, throw it in the frying pan. I'm telling you the truth. She's going to check out them potatoes next Saturday, you know what I mean? Oh, where are we at here? Acts chapter 9, that's where I thought we were at. But look, just read this here. God told Ananias, I want you to go lay hands on this fella. Get him filled with the Holy Ghost. I blinded him. I want you to open up his eyes. And Ananias answered, Lord, what do you mean? I have heard by many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And you want me to get down there? Are you crazy, God? And there he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. He has authority to put me in jail. But thank God that God doesn't see. Listen, God doesn't see the way man sees. And I'm going to tell you this. There's no one that cannot be saved. Come on. I said there's no one that cannot be saved. Stop judging people by the outward appearance. It's hard for me not to sometimes. When you go to Walmart, and some of the employees, I mean, they got so much steel in their face. One of them went right through the nose. I'm thinking, oh my God, that had to hurt. And you know what? I got to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for judging. You know, forgive me for judging. Forgive me for judging. I know that we look on the outward, but we also know that what God looks on the heart. Come on, give the Lord. He looks on the heart. He looks on the heart. Lord said to him, stop judging. Don't worry about what he's done. Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. A murderer. A guy that's persecuting the church. But God said he's a chosen vessel to me. He just didn't know it yet. See, there's a call on some of your lives to do things. You just don't know it yet. Come on. You've been running. But I hope every one of you have a Damascus experience. Come on. Whatever it takes for God. Come on. Whatever it takes for God to get your attention. For some reason, it's always the black sheep of the family that God chooses. He said, he's a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I must show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's in verse 16. And God showed Paul, and Ananias went down and laid hands on him. But you know, Paul had to live with his past the rest of his life. Could you imagine him going to a church to preach? And there sits a woman whose son that Paul had killed or maybe put into prison. Can you imagine that? He was marked for life. That's why he said, this one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Huh? That's what he said. It wasn't a one. Now listen to this, because this is very important. It wasn't a one-time thing that he had to do. This has to be done daily. He didn't say, I'm going to do this one time, take it to the altar, and everything's going to be peachy-peachy like Sherry back there. Mills every time. How you doing? Just peachy. We may have to get some of you egg farmers all together and bring some eggs in here. I mean, they're griping about the price of eggs right now. But listen closely. Paul had to deal with it every day. You know what was tough on the disciples? There was only one time that the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. And it's when Jesus said, you have to forgive 7 times 70 in one day. What? That's what he told them. They said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. You know, it's amazing how we use our faith for prosperity, and there's nothing wrong with that. We use our faith for healing. God wants you to be healed. But when it comes to use our faith to forgive the past and others that done stuff to us, very, very hard. I was in Fort Worth, Texas. You guys were with me. She wasn't born yet, but Ashley wasn't born yet, but I traveled in Joe Chaplin's church, big red-haired guy. And we had I'll never forget it, because on the way home that night, it was really, really late, and we had kids laying all over the van floor. They were all sleeping. They had to get up the next day, but they traveled with me. And on the way home, Mary goes, "You better slow down." Anybody ever have selective hearing? All of a sudden, that cop pulls up here with a light, looks in, all the kids are laying all over the van floor. He said, "Why were you going, sir?" I said, "Sir, I just come out of a wonderful revival meeting. I wish you could have been there. Hallelujah." And I said, "I'm on the way home, and these kids are wore out because they were in a meeting with me, and they got to go." He goes, "I'm going to let you go this time, preacher. Just don't speed through here again." I said, "Thank you, sir." And then she's looking at me like, "I told you so." But we had a powerful meeting that night, and a little older lady, short little Mexican lady, come up, and I could tell there was something really bad. She was bent over. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" And I could tell she was in excruciating pain. She said, I want the Holy Spirit to help me forgive my husband." I said, "Where's he at?" "He's in prison. And he did these horrible things to me." She said, "I'm not going to go into all that. I don't want to glorify the devil. But I just want to forgive him." And I mean, we laid hands on the power of God, knocked her down. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And she was down there for a while, and some of Joe's ushers at the time, I said, "Leave her alone. God's not done with her yet." You know, I was doing the service. And when she got up, her back was totally healed. Give the Lord a hand. Totally healed. Totally healed. Because she made a quality. And you know, it wasn't affecting her husband any. It was just affecting her. And when you fail to forgive others, it's only going to affect you. You're losing all the sleep. You're getting all bitter. And the person you're bitter against, they're out there living their kind of life. They could care less. But the devil has you in bondage. But listen to me. You're a born-again believer, and that's why we're preaching this today. Come on. To help you today, come on, to get delivered. Amen. Paul said, "I have to do this. I have to do this." And you might be on the other end of a bad past. We don't know that. Like I mentioned earlier, someone might have done some horrible things to you growing up as a child, and could have been a family member, could have been a friend of the family. Maybe you came out of a bad relationship or a bad marriage where you were abused one way or the other. But you must do the one thing that Paul said to do in order to move forward with this life. You have to do it. In order to experience the new life that God has prepared for you, you got to forgive and forget the old. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:18-19, look what he said. Don't remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. And if you do that, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Teenagers that are here today, and I know what some of you are going through. Some of you have bad childhoods. And you know, the worst kind of abuse is verbal abuse. But you know, you can get past that. And I'm going to get a little personal today. I've never said this ever to any church service I've done, any, and I've traveled around the world actually, but I'm going to get personal. And I don't want you to think in any way that I'm dishonoring my mother. I'm not dishonoring her, but I just want to tell you a couple things that I went through, verbal abuse as a child. I remember being as a little child, and I was the black sheep of the family, and my mom didn't really treat me very well. A lot of people don't know this. And she would call me Bucky. I'll never forget that. It stuck with me. I'm over it now. And I'm just telling you this to help you get the... She would call me Bucky. She said, Bucky, you're going to have buck teeth. Bucky, you're going to... Now, how's that to tell a kid that when, and you know, you go to school and all of a sudden you're... You know, you got to go to school and hope nobody's looking at your teeth. And then when she would really get upset with me, she'd call me Buddy, about my Uncle Bud. She goes, you're going to be fat just like your Uncle Bud, and you're going to have buck. Now, who tells a kid that? Now, listen, I'm not knocking my mother. I hope she made heaven. I hope she did. And I'm not, I don't even think about this. I've been delivered from it. So it got bad in the family, and her and my dad were separated when I left for the service in 1975, June the 15th. I left on my 18th birthday. But anyways, so while I was in the service, they got back together. And even though all that took place, I still loved my mother. I saved up, you know, obviously I didn't work in high school. I cut grass and picked blackberries for a little extra money, but I saved up every dime I had when I went to the service. I wanted to buy my mom and dad the best gift I could find. And I remember I bought my mom a Pioneer. Back in the day, Pioneer stereos, man, were number one back in the 70s. If you had a Pioneer stereo, and I bought her the best Pioneer stereo that I could, and I bought my dad a Browning semi-automatic shotgun. Boy, you should have seen that thing. I wish I had it today. But I think Adam might have ended up with one of the kids. I don't remember. But, and you know, I wish I could tell you that changed her, but it didn't. But can I tell you it changed me? I wasn't even saved. And that love, I still wanted to love my, and even when I got back home and got out of the service, and she would still lie about me and treat my brothers and sister kids better than my own kids. When I found out her vehicle broke down, I'd give her a vehicle. And then when I found out the washing machine broke down, I had a washing machine. I still walked in love. And you know what that did? That kept me free. Come on. Come on, help me out a little bit. And I didn't even know till I got saved that I was doing the God thing. And man, I got free from that. And I'm telling you this, that you can be free from anything if you choose to. Come on. It's a choice this morning. Paul said, this is one thing that I must do. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't end up with buck teeth. And I used to be a lean fighting machine. I still got abs. They're just covered up a little bit right there. That's all. Yeah, yeah. It was a Browning. But let me just say this. Behold, I will do a new thing. Go back to verse 18 for me. Remember not the former things. Now look here. Neither consider the things of old. Don't even bring it up for consideration. I forgot what my mom did. It just come on me. I felt like telling you. I don't dwell on it. I don't even think about it because I'm a blessed man. Amen. I'm a blessed man and you are too. Come on. I want you to notice the word consider. You won't be able to forget something that you always bring up for consideration. Stop talking about it. You're living your present life in the past, and you're robbing yourself of the future life that God has already provided for you. Because the more you talk about it, the stronger the effect it will have on your life. It may have happened years ago, but the feelings you have today are just as strong as they were when it happened to you. And you'll be in bondage the rest of your life when you don't have to. You will never forget the things that you keep giving voice to. Let me say that again. You will never forget the things that you keep talking about. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I mean, I know some people, 40 years ago, their spouse left them to raise the kids, and that's all they talk about. 40 years ago. And they wonder why they're in bondage. They wonder why they wonder why the condition they're in, and they've never moved forward. They're not blessed. They're living in the past, and they're robbing themselves of this present life that God has for them and the future that God has for them. Come on, help me out just a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. Not only did the Apostle Paul say to do one thing, and the Holy Ghost reminded me that Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said one thing is needful. And when you do that one thing that Jesus said is needful, it's going to help you do the one thing that Paul said you must do. When Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was having a fit, upset, mad at Mary, because she left her in the kitchen. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are careful and troubled about many things. And some of you here are today. You know what he said? One thing is needful. One, look at that in verse 42. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What did Mary do that was different from Martha? Look at verse 39. Did I give you that verse dash? I may not have. It says she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Come on. One thing is needful today, that you hear this word and you do it. Come on. One thing is needful. And I'll say this, only through his word can you become free from your past, stay free from your past. One thing is needful. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he said, if you are my disciples, He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, if you continue. And then he went on to say, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And we're telling you the truth today. And the truth shall set you free. It'll make you free. Come on. And then he goes on to say, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, if you walk out of here today not free, it's your own fault. Because the presence of the Holy Ghost has been here since we got here. Amen. That's why we're telling you today, so you can be free of your past and all of the effects that it's had on you. I'm going to skip the next passage of Scripture. James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's up to us to take off the old, put on the new. And when the enemy does try to get you to consider your past, what you need to do? You need to consider what Jesus went through. No one went through what he went through. Hebrews 12:3, Ash. She's going to put it right there. Look what it says. Consider him, Jesus. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Stop considering what you've been through. Consider what he went through so you don't have to go through it. Come on, help me out a little bit. Consider what he went through. It's not even quite noon yet, and we're going to take communion, and we got a late start. Communion. The worship was so good, I thought I was going to get raptured. I really did. But I want to look in, when Paul wrote the letter to the Colossian church, I want to look what he said here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Man, that's the ability to put up with folks right there. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. See, they had a problem in every one of these churches. They had the same problem. If any man have a quarrel against anyone, I don't care who it is, even as Christ forgave you, you do also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called into one body, and be thankful. And then he says, let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love that. He said, put on the new man. It's your responsibility to do this morning. You have to do it. Amen. Paul learned that from Jesus himself. He understood that unforgiveness, whether it's you can't forgive yourself or someone else, it would hinder your prayer life, it would hinder your present life, and it would hinder your future life. I love Mark 11 because Jesus talks about whosoever shall say that mountain be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says, and we shout about that. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah! Amen! I can have whatever I pray. Only if you read the rest of the verses. It all comes with stipulations. Listen, every promise of God is conditional. You do this and I'll do this. You do this and I'll. The only thing unconditional about God is his love. And we better be thankful for that this morning. Come on. Yeah, I can have whatever I pray. Really? Well, let's look at the next verse. But when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But, there's that but in the Bible, if you do not forgive, this is Jesus is saying this, I'm not. Hurry up, Pastor, let's take communion. I want to go. I've heard enough of this forgiveness stuff. Maybe you better call me for counseling. Because we need to apply this each and every day of our lives. Somebody's going to bump your bucket for the weeks out. I promise you. You might have to do this on the way home from church. I don't know. I remember one day I'm standing out inside the foyer there and just looking out. Man, I heard this couple, they were going at it, man. Then they walked in with the biggest smile on their face. Hey, oh, we're so blessed, Pastor. I don't know, yeah. Every one of us need this message. Help me out. Every one of us. He said, if you don't forgive, your Father ain't going to forgive you. Your Father which is in heaven. He said, it ain't going to happen. It doesn't get any plainer than that. Not going to get any plainer. God is so good. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's enough power in here, man, to raise the dead. And amen. Birdie's here today, and she can tell you what God has done in her life here. And we actually raised her husband from the dead years ago, back in the back. And I'll never forget that, Birdie, as long as I live. And God hadn't changed. He hadn't changed. And if God can do that, listen, if he can do that, he can do anything. Amen. He can do anything. So walk out of here free today. And don't let tomorrow the enemy get you, or he might take your freedom away. Amen. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself daily, come after me. And you know, this is a daily battle, isn't it? Come on. But you know what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul said, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and every thought that tells you you can't make it, and any thought that goes against the knowledge of God, man, we have authority over that in the name of Jesus, because he went to the cross for us. If you could have just seen, and I watched Passion of the Christ one time, I could never watch it again. It broke my heart, the blood and the beatings. But if you could have been there and watched Jesus get beat and understand that he did that for you. He did that for you. He was spit in the face, slapped right up alongside the head. He did that for you. He could have called angels down and smote every one of them. You know, even if you have the physical ability to deal with people, let God deal with it. Let God deal with it, man. Because when God deals with it, it'll be dealt with the right way. And you won't end up in jail. Come on. Hallelujah. And God is so good this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:23, and for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Right there's the power. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. And Joe Ritter and I was talking about that this morning. Listen, he's coming. Come on. Ready or not, he's coming. Get ready because he's coming. He said, I want you to be ready because in such an hour that you think not, he said, that's when I'm coming. Father, we're so thankful for this service today. There's such a powerful anointing here today. And we praise you. We give you the glory for using the worship team, using me, using others to pray for one another here. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you and give you all the glory for not only what you've done, but you're putting people in a position to have the best year they've ever had. And help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And I pray a special blessing on everyone under the sound of my voice, those watching by live stream, those teaching our children and watching our babies. God, just bless them in a special way. And we're so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything you've done, Lord, and everything you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.